Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is Andrew Gottlieb. Andrew is the founder and CEO at No Typical Moments, NTM, a highly specialized digital marketing agency that works exclusively with purpose-driven and social impact-focused businesses to collectively advance humanity as a California benefit corporation. Sounds good to me. Basically, we're going to get into social network marketing today. So if you want to advertise your business, want to find out some little niches and little ideas that'll help you move your business or brand forward, well, this might be a good episode for you. So here is Andrew Gottlieb. All right, I'm here with Andrew Gottlieb. And we're going to get into some marketing stuff, but you know, we do what we do. I want to get into the origin. Anybody's listening wants to know how to start their own agency, compete with Andrew. No, I'm joking. But, you know, it's a big, you know, he's in California. Let's say you're out somewhere else, you know, and not going to compete with him. Although that doesn't really work locally because you can be a marketing agency in, you know, Great Britain and still like, you know, work for with anybody. So let's get into it. Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh fan. That was where you're born and raised?
Born and raised in Pittsburgh. First, spent my first 25 years there until I moved out to San Diego in June of 2014.
All right. Any relatives of the Black Lung?
I have no idea what the Black Lung is. What is that? You mean coal miners?
In the steel industry and the, you know.
Funny enough that Pittsburgh, being California, Pittsburgh is pretty much like a different country to people out here. It's like, oh, Pittsburgh, who even lives there? So when I first moved here and people were getting to know me, I would tell them my dad worked in the coal mines and everyone would be like, oh yeah, I just assumed everyone in Pittsburgh did, but he's a dentist. That wasn't his trajectory. So no relatives in the coal mines.
Andrew's got some great chompers if you can't see the video. So yeah, so that's because your dad's a dentist. Here's a little tidbit and then we'll get into the origin. All right. So the best way to order a steak, if you go to Ruth Chris or Mastro's or any other place that has really specializes in a good steak, you get Pittsburgh style. Now, when I was at Ruth Chris one time in Beverly Hills, my brother's like, hey, you got one steak one way. I just got a medium rare. He's like, you got to try it. I'm like, what's Pittsburgh style? And he says, it's where they sear, they just blacken the outside and it's very rare on the inside. The reason why they call it Pittsburgh style is like 100 years ago or so when they're working in the coal mines or whatever, or steel mines, there'd be these cauldrons, these heavy cauldrons that are underground. And they didn't have time, the guys eating lunch, they didn't have time to like cook their meat. So they would stick their steaks on this blazing hot cauldrons, whatever you want to call them, and it would sear it, but they didn't have time to like sit there and cook the whole thing. It was just like, it would just totally blacken the outside, keep it rare on the inside, and thus the name of the way they cook a steak, Pittsburgh style. Best way to get order a steak.
I have never heard of that. Your brother have any connection to Pittsburgh? How did he make that up?
My brother's like the Big Lebowski. He's not a wealthy guy. He's like actually like, you know, lower income. He'd be the first one to tell you. But he's like a man of like luxury still. He's 10 years old to me. He's like, dude, you ordered your steak that way? He's like, no, man, you got to get Pittsburgh style. And he goes, try your steak. He goes, now try mine, ribeye. And I tried it and I was like, oh my God, this is so much better. And he's like, Pittsburgh style. So whenever I go to a steak place, and if they're really good, they'll know exactly what you're talking about. You get Pittsburgh style. The best way to order a steak. Well, brings out all the flavor and the fat.
I'll give a counter to that. So if you're in Pittsburgh and you ask for a Pittsburgh salad, a Pittsburgh steak, it actually means you put French fries on it.
Oh, okay. Well,
so it's a thing in Pittsburgh, like Pittsburgh salad is just a salad and then just greasy French fries are thrown in there and negates all the healthy benefits.
I didn't know that. Now I'm getting all kinds of like, you know, Pittsburgh. Okay, good. All right. Well, that we'll add that into the subconscious and it'll be come up at a cocktail party and be of great value. So, all right, here we go. We're going to go into what built Andrew. So we can find out, and then we're going to find out more about marketing. So mom and dad, your dad's a dentist. What did mom do? She homo? What'd she do?
She's a writer. She's been a freelance writer pretty much since I was born. She used to work in-house at banks. And then when I was born, she started freelancing. Right now, she is writing in the athletic department at the high school I went to. And my dad, he's also the team dentist of the Steelers. I have to give that shout out to him. He worked hard for that role. But the two of them, my dad legitimately leaves at 5, gets home at 6 or 7. So he's putting in like 12 plus hours a day. As a 70-year-old, my mom is extremely competitive with her writing, still wants it to be the best in the world. So to what you're saying earlier, if this inspires anyone to build a marketing agency, compete with me, whatever, I forget the exact terminology you use, but you know, I'm competitive, love to see awesome, bright people entering this space. So more power to them if they feel empowered to build an agency.
That's good, man. You got to be competitive. I mean, it's certain that drive. I don't know any entrepreneurs really not, you know, you secretly, you don't brag about it, but you're like, yeah, I want to be the best. You know, right? So let's get into the moment that you like, what was the impetus to get into marketing?
It was on accident. So back in college, I was a managerial economics major. I did a bunch of internships, ranging from going to Wall Street, working on a political campaign, interning at a political consulting firm in Washington, D.C. So I was all over the board. And when I got back my senior year, I started to have this epiphany moment of none of these roles, these internships really sparked a fire underneath me. The thought of needing to go in on a Monday morning to do any of those roles felt dreadful. So I started to do deeper and deeper thinking of really what did I want to do when my safety net of college ended. And just by happenstance, I was on a chain email thread. A friend of a friend CC'd me on it. And I saw this interview from this guy who was living in Costa Rica, running a blog, making 6 figures. And just the idea of that, which back in 2011 was a lot more novel than today, which it, you know, everyone's a digital nomad, it feels like. I was just so curious with how he created that type of lifestyle for himself that I wanted to reverse engineer what he actually did to create that type of income. And through that process, I realized how much I actually enjoyed marketing and emerging technologies. And this was back when Facebook and Zuckerberg were cool. So being in, you know, Facebook expert was kind of a cool thing way back when, and just saw the rise of what I guess now we would more so refer to it as Web 1, Web 2, in their early development stages were becoming. And I was just hooked, and it was kind of a nerdy fascination with what this world was. And eventually I wanted to kind of combine this passion for doing good in the world with this skill set of marketing. Hence the merger of them was the creation of Notypical Moments.
What year did you start your agency?
So I started the idea when I listened to that podcast in the spring of 2011. I worked on it for on the nights and weekends for about a year and a half. And then September of 2012, I left my job to fully dive into it, officially became incorporated Jan 1, 2013.
So I'm interested to hear, you know, let's get right into, you know, marketing. You know, every... There's similarities between a lot of agencies and a lot of people that, you know, master it. You know, of course, you know, depends on what month it is, but also, you know, hearing you rattle off like, you know, technical things about your past, you know, reverse engineering and all that. I mean, what, you know, as we stand today, I know you do, you know, a very particular kind of like a social conscious, you know, type of marketing as well, but... Mm-hmm. But I'm a widget guy, you know, I own a company that sells a widget. I'm launching a patented, you know, branded product in about 6 months. What are some things that a guy like me that wants to create the next Yeti household brand, Black Rifle Coffee, or, you know, there's a thumbprint, but what would you say is your secret sauce, Andrew Gottlieb's secret sauce? If you had to bullet point to throw you in the deep end, let's get that started. Let's talk about that.
I'll answer that in two ways. So the first is that we have a methodology that we call Impact with Profits, which is how we run our business and all of our marketing campaigns, which is how we believe we're differentiated in the marketplace, which is how we combine conscious creatives, rapid prototyping of campaigns, and a connection to your P&L. We believe that's a differentiated way we go about our campaigns. Because we're tending to work with more purpose-driven organizations who don't want to be using fear-based tactics. They want really awesome user experience and design, create or copy that feels more uplifting. Rapid prototyping, meaning in the digital space, you can just do so much testing between your copy, design, targeting, all across the board. So we really believe you need to get stuff up, experiment, and pivot. In connection to P&L, meaning we want to know, how does this actually make money for you? Views and impressions are great. They're top of funnel awareness. But at the end of the day, we're much more of a growth marketing organization. So we really want to show you how this is building your organization and growing the brand. The second way to answer that question is that we made a huge pivot about 2 years or so ago because of iOS 14, which I say is when Apple and Facebook, it was like Godzilla and King Kong started fighting. And we were the just like peasants below with the after effect of iOS 14. We decided to offer a higher level marketing service and started offering fractional CMO work to really get aligned on holistic marketing plans and really be able to support brand and understanding this whole trajectory of where you, your business could be and what marketing is most applicable to that stage of business and really meeting you where you're at. So as an early stage business who maybe hasn't produced any revenue yet, but you have some capital savings, whatever it is to deploy, we really want to make sure that you're using cost-effective marketing campaigns to show proof of concept, solidify revenue streams, versus what I think a lot of people did, us included as an agency, just jump straight into Facebook ads because it was extremely cheap. You could produce results like that. And that's just not how the world of Facebook advertising is working anymore.
So let's get in the weeds on that then a little bit. Cause you know, like, let's, sure. You know, we're going to do this is the best way I know how to like, you know, kind of teach or like, you know, like find out like how somebody's listening and go, what would that mean for me? So
I can give you an example of what that means of meeting someone where they're at.
Yeah, or yeah, like day one, it's like, hey, okay, we're going to be launching in 4 months. We got, we got a Kickstarter campaign. Then we're going to do our official launch, 40 days after that. And we're looking to, you know, the budget is about, you know, of course, you know, we want to stick to like eventually, you know, climb up to like, you know, a 6 to 7, you know, X on our ad spend, but we're willing to, you know, kind of take a wash for the first six months to a year, you know, to really get the name out there. Let's not talk about budget, you know, limitations, but like, we're not going to do a Super Bowl ad either, you know, right. But let's say the budget is, $500,000 for the first year to advertise. You sit down and say, it's like, all right, this is the journey we're going to take you on. You're the coach. You have carte blanche, you know, the entrepreneur is going to listen to you and you guys have full reign to, that's how much we want to spend. We want to try to maybe recoup, you know, break even on that. Let's talk about what that looks like.
Sure.
I got the ADHD. I don't even know if that's the right way to go.
There's about. A lot of stuff.
What do you think of my, what's that?
There's a lot you threw out there. So yeah. I'll try to condense that into like a step one to
thank
like
you.
Step five. I'm just making up, there's five steps here, but
cool.
You know, before a marketing campaign launches, you need to go back and make sure the infrastructure is correct. So that's understanding who your avatar is, having brand styling guides, your messaging docs, your value proposition. I'm sure there's, you know, five other things you need to go through, but it's like a checklist. And then probably next from there, making sure that you have your tech stack in order. So let's work on your backend infrastructure and make sure all those things are organized. And then you need to start coming up with your goal. So we're working with, and I'll give this example. We have a summit we're going to be launching in early May is when the summit is. So they came to us and said, you know, this is our budget and we want to have 10,000 people sign up for it. And so I said to them, okay, awesome goal. Based upon our experience running Facebook ads for a summit, I'm just going to make this up. It's typically, you know, $5 per lead for a sign up for a summit. And if you want 10,000 people to sign up through Facebook ads, we then need a budget of $50,000 in ad spend. And what I heard is that your total budget is 20K, not even including agency fees. So we're completely out of alignment here. So very blunt, very honest of just, this is just a math equation and the math doesn't work here. So we then said, what affiliates do you have? And so as we started to dive into that, we realized, you know, the headliner for their conference is this amazing singer-songwriter She has almost a million followers on Instagram. And we went, okay, with her alone, we might be able to get 10K. So that was very important information you didn't tell us at the onset. So he said, okay, let's even get more conservative. And, you know, they have, I want to say 20 other speakers for this conference. So we said, we should really be thinking about this of lowest hanging fruit for acquisition, that with all these affiliates you have, we know, and I'm just going to make this up, this number, like there's a total of 500,000 emails. If you added up all these speakers that are going to be mailing for you. So if we captured even 1% of the total subscriber base from these people to sign up for the summit, we're going to more than meet your goal. And we're not going to have to deploy $50,000 in Facebook advertising spend. So that's the way we're going about setting goals with them, really even like lowering that expectation of what Facebook ads can do. Like, you know, let's say we're going to get 2,500 leads and we're going to really leverage a Facebook advertising spend for retargeting. So 500,000 people are going to be mailed to this. You're going to have a bunch of people click over to the site. They don't register immediately, but we're going to run retargeting campaigns to them across the web to try to get them on the second and third go around to sign up. And that could be a better utilization of your Facebook advertising spend. And then at the tail end of the conference, we'll run what's called a direct to cart campaign. So anyone who signed up for the summit will run ads just to those individuals to purchase products that are sold upon completing the summit. So that's the way we would go about it. And it's really just meeting them where they're at, versus we have a different client from earlier this year who wanted to gross about, I think it was $2 million in revenue through a live launch for a high-end coaching certification. And we told her, all right, if you want to do this, it's probably going to be about a $400,000 Facebook advertising spend. And she didn't blink and she just said, all right, I have the capital. I know what the math is going to add up to across the board. Let's get going. So it's a lot of that just brutal honesty. And it's very much that goal setting and creating that math equation of all the conversion metrics that need to happen across that funnel for these goals to actually happen.
What about TikTok? How are you guys versed in TikTok yet?
We did some experimenting in 2022 with TikTok advertising. And what we saw on our campaigns, and I'm sure there's going to be other people who will counter this, is that it was great for cost per impression, but it wasn't driving leads and sales. And so for us, you know, our clients said, cool, I'm down. And this is the way we approach an experiment with a new platform like TikTok. We say, we want to experiment for X number of days. It's going to require this level of ad spend, this level of agency fees, all those numbers across the board. This is an investment. We're not guaranteeing any type of ROI, but are you open to this type of experimentation with a clear endpoint of pause the campaign if we don't hit our goals? So we did that. Like I said, we got great cost per impressions and views, which really don't mean anything when you're doing direct response marketing. So it was great learning and we haven't given up on TikTok. It just wasn't great from a paid advertising standpoint. From an organic side, and we don't do much organic marketing at our organization. I know it's great. I've seen the results. I'm on TikTok just as an individual user. And what it's really done is it's influenced the way video is being created for all other platforms, which is why Reels are dominating. It's why stuff is, you know, TikTok is very fun and engaging. And, you know, even the, like the short-based captions that TikTok is great at, you're seeing those on Reels a lot now. So it's really influenced all video-based content the other platforms are needing to do to catch up so eyeballs stay on Facebook and not TikTok.
Right. It's extremely addictive. I'm an older dude and I'm like, I see my teenage daughters and I'm like, I get it. I it's like, you know, you're bad when it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're done watching your favorite show and you've been on TikTok and that little person comes on and is like, I know you want to keep on scrolling. It's getting late. Go to the fuck sleep because you're no, all right. Now I feel like shit. I'm like, oh God, why did I do this? But what about organic algorithmic? For example, my TikTok account, I think about this all the time. It's like, you know, I think I screwed it up. First of all, I think you paid in the beginning. I'm like, I'll pay for some likes for this, and then some followers. And then like they're all just messed up, you know? And ever since I did that one time, and I think it messed up the total algorithmic. It does, right? So should I just shut that down and start from scratch? Or what are you, what's your expertise opinion on the algorithmic organic aspect of that?
Of buying fake followers or just?
No. At this point, after like, you know, I guess I'd have to show you the account and you'd be like, you know, but like, that's a question. Like if you have a shitty account, I mean, it did so much better in the beginning, you know, and then it's like, you know, do you just, you know, I guess you have to look at it, but should you just dump it and then start over and then stick to one modus operandi? Because that's really what TikTok does well. It's like this one person, they just stick with this. Mine's got the ADHD all over it. I'm doing 15 different things. It's not Facebook. It's not Instagram. It's like, it's, you got to do the one thing that you choose to do. And that's usually what really gets sticky, right?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if this is answering it directly, but let me just start talking and see if this makes sense for you. Yeah, so sure. In some of our Facebook advertising accounts, 5 years or so ago, and there's two in particular I'm thinking of, they bought a bunch of fake followers for their brand, which you think in the moment, cool, I now have 50,000 followers. People are going to think I'm an influencer, blah, blah, blah. It might convince other people to sign up for my accounts. But what they didn't realize is now we're their paid advertising team. And one of the things you can do in paid advertising is run campaigns to what we call a lookalike audience, which is fantastic. So if you have a true community of 10,000 people, you can say to Facebook, hey, I want to run ads who match the same demographic and psychographic intel as my true 10,000 person community. And it's going to show you the exact right people. But if you flooded your account with bots, spams, fake people, all of those things, you can't run lookalike audience campaigns, which stinks because it's such a great asset to deploy in your advertising campaigns. So I would say if you have an account, so there's also a difference, and I hope this makes sense. There's a difference between I flooded my account with bots and spam. Maybe there's, I just don't know if there's software that could actually de-allow those people to follow your brand potentially versus is, hey, at this stage in my life, I'm just going to make this up. I'm a vegan. So my whole community is going to be vegan people. 10 years later, I now love steak. And so now my audience needs to be people who enjoy eating steak. You're probably just going to have a natural transition of those vegan people fall off of your account. And then, you know, you're now talking and marketing to steak people. And I've seen people go through that transition. You're probably going to get some backlash. So I wouldn't be too hard on yourself if kind of just your brand message shifts over time and you're attracting a new type of person. But I would say, if you've been just ADD around content, there's a just smorgasbord of random people who are on the accounts, I wouldn't overthink it. I would just be more focused on what are you doing now moving forward. And hopefully the pendulum will just swing that, you know, you have 1,000 people right now. Let's just say 800 of those are random assortment of folks. You have 200 pure fans. I would say more so pay attention to how can I just over surpass that 800 people who aren't really my audience. So it's swaying that over 50% are now my true people. And hopefully those just random people will fall off and defollow you if they're not resonating with you in the future.
Okay, cool. And then as far as like organic algorithmic, you know, let's say, well, I've only been posting, I was posting like every other day. Now, past several months, only posted like, you know, once every 2 weeks. Does that totally jack up the account? Or let's say, no, you can, you know, why don't you take out all the bad video? What if you did this? You take out all the bad videos, you delete the ones that are really not performing that well. Then you stick to one theme, a diet of pretty much daily posts of really good content. Or that's scenario number one, stick with that old account. Or you cut that account, you start a new account, and then you stay with the daily, you know, does the new account perform better than the historical old account that was like not perfect, you know, from the start? This is the kind of shit that I think about. I don't know. I think other people think about this.
So what I would just say is, and this probably isn't answering your question, is I don't know if I am the right person to say like, delete and everything. My just thought is that it might be an overcomplication of what's going on. I would just be more focused on being on offense and what are you doing moving forward. So I think a lot of what you're saying was playing defense and, you know, scanning through your videos, deleting certain ones, trying to unfollow and deactivate, you know, a third of your audience. So what I think is easiest moving forward is creating a clear content schedule and having, with you having this podcast, your one podcast episode could be 30 pieces of content each week. So if the podcast is a cornerstone of your content calendar, you know, you post your podcast on Monday to Spotify, iTunes, the videos up on YouTube, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're splicing out 30-second hot takes from the episode, posting those to all the platforms. Maybe you sprinkle in some like quote-based images of something important the individual said. Maybe it's just inspirational quotes around the theme of your podcast. And if you use something like that as a content calendar, you know, you're going to have, like I said, 30 pieces of content you can be deploying to all these platforms. And it's a lot about the just consistency. So if you want to stay in the good graces of the algorithm, it's that consistency. It's having some of the right tags. You mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk earlier, so I'll drop his name and this resource he has, which I believe is called the $80 strategy. So it's around figuring out 10 hashtags that are relevant. And then every day, you know, making 10 comments and continuing to build momentum like that, which is something, you know, an EA.
10 comments how
related to each hashtag. So you have a hashtag inspiration and you're going and making 10 comments a day on people who post with using the hashtag inspiration. If you went to Google and found Gary V $80 strategy, I think that's what it's called.
That's pretty cool. $80 strategy.
And that's something you could pay a VA, an EA to handle for you. You know, he or she knows these are my 10 hashtags. Insert me into the conversation every day with some type of legitimate comment back, not just like a, that's cool. Like, hey, I resonate with your enjoyment of the NFL. I've been a lifelong Steelers fan. So something like that. So it's actually an original thought you're putting into it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's got to be organic somewhat, you know, it's got to be original. You're engaging about that, you know, hashtag and, you know, and you do that probably before the post, not after, or doesn't really matter, just before, just after.
Just sprinkle throughout the week, you know, every day there's 10 hashtags, one comment per day in each hashtag, whatever system you wanted to create. So over the course of the week, you know, you have 100 comments sprinkled across the web and these categories that are relevant to your brand.
Oh, it's just, and it's just like not for that platform, you know, well, of course you're going to do the same methodology for Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever.
Correct.
Okay. So
you'll see on Gary V's article, he breaks it down in a lot more detail than I am right now, but it's the, I believe it's the $80 strategy, he calls it.
Okay, cool. So why $80 again?
I have no idea.
That's what you didn't even tell me.
I'm sure as a marketer, there's a reason he calls it that. I don't recall.
So let's talking about VAs and scheduling and all that, Social Pilot, you know, places like that, that do your scheduling. And then is it still organic? It's better to just, because with Social Pilot, you're on auto drive. It's like, look, I want you to, I'm going to schedule it through these dates in Social Pilot. But do you lose something by not going in directly organically? I know a couple of years ago, it would be better to go organically, you know, directly on that platform. But is it better now for, you know, 2023 where we're at for, you know, Social Pilot? Can it do that without getting dinged? Or is it still better just to like make go to any, each individual one and let them know that you went through that portal rather than Social Pilot?
I'm actually not up to speed right now with Social Pilot. I use Hootsuite way back in the day. And if some of the algorithms are dinking you and you count, if you're using a third-party tool, my thought is knowing how these big tech companies operate, most likely they are, but don't quote me on that. What I would say is what I didn't like about Hootsuite back in the day was I didn't like how it would have the Hootsuite kind of branding on it. And I believe it would say like uploaded by Hootsuite or something like that, which made it obvious that you weren't doing it in the moment. So I would say, I don't know if it's stinking you in the algorithm. Two is that if it has any of that branding on, which is going to be clear to anyone who's scrolling that you didn't post it, you know, in the moment, that would look poorly as well.
Because my VA, she's like, yeah, I want to schedule this through a social pilot. And I'm thinking, yeah, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I'm like thinking, I don't want to, you know, get dinged on, you know, you might have to do it organically, you know, directly and individually.
We do it directly. We do it directly. Yeah, like I said, I'm not up to speed. I would say if you don't know, I would just run a test, you know, 1 week organically, the next week with the platform, and just see if there's a discrepancy in any of your data. And if it goes up and down, or if it just stays consistent, you should have your answer.
Where do you think we're going right now? I mean, that's like, it's like as far as like, you know, well, 3 years ago, you know, Facebook ads they're still doing well, I guess. That's you're saying that's the biggest, you know, pusher. I still think that TikTok, from what I've seen on certain people, I have a friend that has a liquor brand, and he had just had an influencer serendipitously, you know, display his product on a thing. And he started getting with a particular type of following as well. He started getting these orders, you know, and that was a TikTok thing. But, you know, what do you think, you know, is there anything on the horizon that looks like it might be, you know, something that we need to really kind of gravitate towards and be aware of?
So TikTok has taken, you know, the internet by storm in the last couple of years. It's in terms of, you know, the new thing and whatnot, a lot of that is just based upon your audience and who you're attempting to get in front of. So if you're wanting to get in front of younger people, TikTok is going to be your thing. Facebook is now the platform where older individuals are hanging out. I was speaking at a college in April 2022, and I was generally curious, you know, what social media platforms they use and why. And so I was asking them, you know, who's on TikTok, and pretty much the entire room raised their hand. And I was asking them, you know, why, and they're talking about the funny content, they can scroll on it, all their friends are there, it feels like a community. And so I asked them who all is on Facebook, and about half the room raised their hands. And so I asked why, and every single person said they were on Facebook to monitor their parents to make sure they weren't doing anything embarrassing.
my daughter's call like, yeah, Facebook mom and Facebook dad stuff, you know, like it could be anything. It could be like a festival, and like, you know, my wife's looking at like some clothing, you know, booth or whatever. And my daughter will be like, "Dad, let's get out of this Facebook mom place." Yeah. It's like, so, oh man. But I mean, it makes sense to me. I just think that, even age aside, I mean, TikTok is the stickier site.
For sure. It is. The content's amazing. The thing with Facebook is, you know, it's been around for a decade now, decade plus. How long has it been? Since 2007. So coming up on 15 years, which is, you know, 10 lifetimes in the world of the internet. So it's just one of those things that Facebook just hasn't died. And there's been so many opportunities for it to go under. They, you know, they had their big layoffs in the fall, but it's still, you know, our ad campaigns have really recovered since I was 14. They're doing well. Older demographics are still using Facebook as their medium. You know, they're going to need to evolve and change. And I know Zuck has his big play with, you know, the whole metaverse and where he thinks that world is going in the next 5 to 10 years. So I'm not smart enough to be able to predict the future on the metaverse, but it will be interesting to see what continues to evolve, especially with Web3 approaching as well in the future.
I have a good analogy for this. Sure. So I think that Facebook is kind of like your mom and dad's house when you come home for Thanksgiving. You know, It's like you're always going, it's family dinner. It's nice. TikTok is the nightclub you go to afterwards. I mean, yeah, that's like where you're like, yeah, no, I still like going to Facebook. Everybody likes going to Facebook. You know, you catch up with family and all that. TikTok is where you really go to, like, you know, spend the rest of the night, you know, like, you know, and have fun. Cause you're just, it's just so much energy compared to, you know, but Facebook is essential as well. There's both. I kind of, you know, you're in California now. When you go to a Dodger game, you grew up with the Dodgers. There's a nice wholesome game there, you know, but if you want something sexy, you go to a Laker game. So I don't know. These are my analogies when it comes to those social platforms. Now I think I lost my audience, but anyways, I digress. So as far as, you know, we got Facebook ads, where do you see Instagram as far as advertising, or is it just now Instagram's really just like, you really just need to build up your organic around your product and your lifestyle brand and all that. Or do you see really good results off of Instagram ads?
Well, Facebook owns Instagram. And so when you're running your advertising campaigns, it's just simply checking a box to also deploy them onto Instagram. So you can see in your dashboard, you know, you could break up your campaigns hypothetically to show Facebook versus Instagram performance. We're, you know, tending to run on both. And we're not just running on one or the other, unless the data is just so skewing in one direction over the other. And I'm probably getting too techie, and our advertisers could speak better around how they organize their campaigns. But I would just say, if you thought to your analogy of kind of demographics and where people are trending, you know, Facebook is a little bit older. Instagram is millennials. TikTok is Gen Z, and kind of millennials are starting to infiltrate the platform. So it's kind of that curve of who your audience is and where they're hanging out.
Yeah, I know Instagram's a part of it, but do you see the results are good on ads across the board? I know there's probably like, I bet you like cosmetics, you know, something like that. That space is probably pretty good on Instagram. But other than that, do you see like, it's definitely a far second from Facebook as far as, you know, conversions?
I would say there's not like this huge discrepancy of difference. I would say just in general, if you have a very visually appealing brand, Instagram is a great platform for you.
Okay, cool. YouTube, what are some, you know, are shorts producing better now as far as a lead gen for conversions, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, YouTube shorts, we try for our own agency and we don't have great success with shorts. But once again, if you think about the way TikTok is influencing everything else, just like Reels are there on Instagram to combat TikTok, YouTube Shorts are there to combat TikTok. So it's, like I said, we haven't seen much success on Shorts, but they're YouTube's way of countering what TikTok is doing. If you wanted to do YouTube advertising, which is becoming a lot more popular, it's very much contingent on the amount of video that you can be deploying. So if you don't have the video content, you don't like being on video. I mean, you literally can't advertise on YouTube because it is a video platform. So that's something to consider.
So if you had it, you're starting off a company, you know, and it depends on the company, but the diet sounds like it consists of, okay, we want, you know, and I'm sure the way we do it is starting to, we haven't done it yet, but we're starting to stockpile up our drop boxes with all the content, make sure you know, we have, you know, stuff locked and loaded, getting ready, you know, for Facebook, you know, campaigns. And then we're going to try out TikTok. Of course, Instagram is going to be, like you said, it's, you know, just click that box and you're going to have that. The tough one is YouTube, because it's so, can't even do any still or anything. It all has to be, you know. So how do you navigate all that and what's really the most effective as far as conversions and brand awareness?
Once again, it's going to come back to who your audience is, what your product is. If you're marketing to older demographics, Facebook, Instagram is going to be best suited for millennials, and younger folks is building up that organic strategy on TikTok.
Okay, got it. So that's pretty much it. That's you know, really across the board for depending on the product, that's really going to be all down to that. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody how they can find out about your agencies. You answered all my crazy questions and you answered them fast, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. NoTypicalMoments.com is the best way to learn more about me and our organization.
Awesome. Andrew Gottlieb, thank you so much for indulging me and my phonetic, inquisitive, questions. And thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
That was marketing extraordinaire Andrew Gottlieb. Got a nice little quote for him too. It's not what you sell that matters as much as how you sell it. Ryan Halligan, CEO and co-founder of HubSpot. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hanging out with you all on the next episode. All right. Have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week, we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically, you're going to find it here. All right. Thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.